Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We give you the praise and give you the glory. Thank you for the blessing today of two babies that we dedicated into the house of the Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for the word of God. Always an encouragement in your word. And we know that the entrance of that word brings light. Let that light shine in our hearts today to the glory of your name. We give you all, Lord, all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Put your hands together. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now, to the law and to the testimony. That's my title of my exhortation this morning. I'll try to keep it brief. To the law and to the testimony. Starting here at Isaiah chapter 8. I'm going to start at verse 16. I'm going to read verses 16 and 20. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 16. Bind up the testimony and seal the law among my disciples. Now that's the Lord putting it right there. He said, bind up the testimony and seal the law among my disciples. Then we jump to verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So we're going to talk about that for just a few minutes. What does it really mean? What is it we're talking about here? Well, what we are saying is, first, God spoke and said, bind the law. Bind up the testimony and seal up the law among my disciples. That's the first thing he said. And then he turned around and said, well, you know, go back to the law and to the testimony. And if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So, the law and the testimony today equates for us to the word of God. And I'm going to bring something more. You know, many, many times we've taught faith on this platform. You know, how we can get our prayers answered and so forth. I mean, we've preached faith upside down, sideways, anyhow you want. And I believe that with all the messages, and you can go back and check them out on the website at any time. I believe that with all those messages, people should have the victory every single time. Can you say amen? And sometimes, well, I still look around, I see that, you know, there are still challenges. So I'm always waiting on the Lord and saying, Lord, what would you have me say to your people to help, you know, move them closer to the victory every time? So the Lord impressed upon me to share this with us today. Now, there are some few points I'm going to bring across on how you can make your prayer more effective. We've taught on that so many times. But today it's going to be about the Word of God. The Word of God. The punchline for the message is pretty much, see, if you don't pray according to the Word, there will be no light. And if that prayer is not wrapped up in light, it's not coming before God. Because 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5 says that this is the message that we heard from the beginning, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Can you say amen? Amen. And we cannot bring, you know, so if the Lord said this, look, if they don't speak according to this word, there's no light in it. You know, so if your prayer is not according to the word, it really is not wrapped in light and it may not go anywhere. So you may wonder, well, why is it that I pray and my prayer is not answered? Well, maybe the Lord is going to help us a little bit along here today. So, Lamentation chapter 3 and verse 27. Lamentation 3 and 27. I hope you're taking notes because this is more like a teaching message this morning. You know, 37. Lamentation 3. and 37. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord has not commanded it? Now, so you can say all you want. You can pray all you want. But if the Lord has not commanded it, he said, look, how is it going to come to pass? You know, so this begins to tell us and show us that if you can find what God has already commanded and repeat that as your prayer, your answer is quicker in coming. Amen. So that's what we are going to teach, and I'm going to try to take it slow, and I won't take too long, but that's what we're teaching here today. So take note of that. You cannot just say something and let it come to pass, according to this verse that we just read, except the Lord has commanded it. Now, in the book of Psalm 119, verse 80, you know, we're told, it says, forever, O Lord, what happens? Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled where? In heaven. Is it also settled in your heart? You know, is it settled? That's Psalm 119, verse 89. I said 85, but it's verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Now, if it's already settled, all you have to do is just remind God of what he already said. It's settled. There's no long story about it. It is settled. His word is settled. And this verse, just about every time I stand here to preach, I quote it in my prayer. You've heard me say it. I said it even today. That the entrance of your word does what? You should all know it by now. I say it just every time. The entrance of your word does what? Gives light. That is in Psalm 119 and verse 130. You've heard me quote it every single time. Now, and every time I refer to that, it giveth understanding to the simple. I bring it in a way to say that, well, the word of God is going to bring light into your heart. But I'm going to use that in a different dimension today. Yes, the word of God will bring light. But remember, God said, if they don't speak according to this word, there is no light. So for there to be light, the word of God must be in it. For your prayer to have light, let it be the word of God. Amen. Now, if you know how to just wrap the word of God in your prayer, it'll be all wrapped up in light, and it is settled in heaven. That's right. It's just already settled, because his word is settled in heaven. Yeah, there's no need for a long argument. If it is his word, and you present his word to him, it is already settled. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, sometimes when we pray, we lament because of this and so on and so forth. Well, you know, maybe the Lord, through his mercy, will look upon that and so forth. But the quickest way to get our prayer answered is to remind God of something that he has already promised. Praise the Lord. Now, many, many times, teaching on faith in this church, I've used Hebrews 11 and verse 13. And some of you may remember, I preached on it when we talked about the oracles, you know, the oracles of faith and so forth. I preached on it when I talked about the essentials of faith. And I called it speck, you know, to see the promise is the S and all that. To be persuaded about it is the P. To embrace it for yourself is E. And C is to confess it. Now, I'm going to take just one aspect of that today. I don't want to repeat that message. It's on our website all over the place. But one aspect today is the very first part, which is, you know, they see the promises are far off. You got to, when you want to pray about anything, your best bet is to find a promise in the Bible for what he has already said concerning that. Amen. And if you can do that, you know, and then wrap your prayer around that, your answer is quicker and come. And I'm going to give us some examples of how some people in the Bible did that. And so we can learn from, the Bible says the things that are written in the Bible are for our admonition and for our example. We need to use the word of God and his attributes to challenge him when we pray. Now, this is up on last week's message, we talked about the attributes of God. We didn't do justice to it at all during the review, but you can go back and listen to the message. The attributes of God. And if you can latch onto any one of those attributes, and there is one more that I'm talking about today, that's the Word of God. And what is the one thing that comes to mind when you think about the Word of God? It is eternal. Amen. It is eternal. You know, it's forever settled, it's eternal. You can apply it. People applied it hundreds of years ago. Somebody applied it thousands of years ago. You can take the same word and you can apply it and it will still work today. Amen. I mean, if your name is Peter, you can stand up on the day of Pentecost and say, you know, this is that which was spoken by Prophet Joel. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit among all flesh. Well, I can stand up today and say the same thing which Peter said 2,000 years ago. I can say, in the last days, God said he will pour out his spirit among all flesh. And it will still be true. Hallelujah. Because his word is eternal. It was true then, it is still true today. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, when we talk about his attributes, you can use those attributes to challenge God. You can package your prayer in his word. And then I'm going to show you a couple of examples of how people did that in the Bible. Now, I alluded to this last week, and I'm going to read it in 2 Chronicles. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 6. And just one verse here of how, I mean, you can read the whole chapter. I don't have time to do that today. But if you read the whole chapter, I mean, just see how Solomon began to remind God of all the things that he promised and how actually God has fulfilled some of them. But he challenged God here in 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 17. This is the one I want to read. Now, how many of you are still with me? Are you still with me? Now then, O Lord God of Israel, let thy word be verified, which thou hast spoken unto thy servant David. Now that's an incredible way to pray. When you first of all recount all the things that God has said, and then you summarize that prayer by saying, now Lord, let that word which you have already said, let it be verified in my life as it is this day. That is the best way that you can get an answer to the prayer. Now, there are so many things that God has already said. Amen? For instance, if you are looking for healing, in the book of 1 Peter 2 and 24, we are already told, he said, by whose stripes, what happened? We were already healed. So we can go to God in prayer and quote that scripture and say, Lord, let your word be verified, which you have already spoken. Amen. Again, when we pray for the sick, we can quote John chapter, 16 and say, well, we can quote and say, the Lord said, these signs shall do what? So we can quote it and say, the Lord said this and the Lord said that and so forth. Mark, I meant, chapter 16. We can say, the Lord said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. Can you say amen? And then I can say, Lord, let that word which you have already spoken, let it be verified today as I lay my hands on the sick. You know, and actually I do think that in my heart when I pray for the sick. I may not say it out in my mouth, but I do think of it. I think of some scripture and then I apply it in my mind and use it. So you can, think of any of the wonderful promises of God. You know, they're so all over the place. You know, like the Lord said in Isaiah 43 and verse 2. He said, when you go through even the fire, it will not burn you. Amen. That means you are going to go through some things. It didn't say if you go through. It said when you pass through. Amen. But I love the word through. You've heard me say it many times. I love that word through. The Lord never said when you go into the water or when you go into the fire. Well, if you go into, that's a dead end. You're not coming out. But he said when you pass through the waters. So you already know you are coming out on the other side. Amen. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because I'm coming out on the other side already. You know, so now you can, when you are going through challenges, you can remind God of what he said here. Not just from quoting the scripture. I hear people quote scripture when they pray and so forth. The verse and so on. Well, I'm not talking about quoting the verse. I mean saying what God said. You know, I'm quoting the verse is good too. But saying what he said, Lord, you have said that you will be with me. When I pass through the waters, it will not overwhelm me. When I pass through the fire, it will not kindle upon me, and I will not be burned. Now, Lord, I am passing through some fire right now. Let thy word now be verified, which you have spoken. Hallelujah. And I'll see you, Lord, on the other side. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, faith is the evidence. Hallelujah. It's got substance to it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence. Now, for faith to be valid, we've said it so many times, it must be based on the word of God. But faith, listen to me, folks, today. Faith is only faith when there is nothing to be seen as yet. Hello, folks. Let me say that to you again. I'm just quoting Hebrews chapter 11, but I'm saying it some other way. Faith is only faith when there is nothing to be seen. If you are already seeing it, it's not just faith. I mean, it's no longer faith. You already have it. There's no need for faith. You know, but when you don't see it, blessed are those who have not seen but yet believe. Amen. Faith has evidence. You say, how do you know? Well, by my faith. You know, if you have faith, then it's as sure as the word of God, because your faith is based on the word of God. Now, you've seen how Solomon made that prayer. And every time we pray a prayer that moves God, which is using his word, I mean, God is not moved by long jumping up and down. That doesn't bother him at all. You know, in fact, Jesus said, look, don't be like the Pharisees, you know, do all these things and vain repetitions and so forth and think you'll be heard by your long prayer. No. But when we wrap our prayers around the word of God, which is already settled in heaven, you know, there is nowhere, you know, to make mistake because it's the word of God. Now, when you do that, God has respect to your prayer. Amen. Well, the Bible says that God does not have respect of persons. Well, Solomon, when he prayed, he said, Lord, now have respect unto the prayer of your servant. Why? Because he's quoting the word of God. He quoted the word of God to him. He quoted everything that God already said. He said, Lord, you said to my father, David, that there will not lack a man on your house to sit upon your throne and so forth. Say, now, Lord, verify the word that you have already spoken. Amen. That's how you do it. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, let's look at the book of Jeremiah, chapter 32. Jeremiah 32. And I guarantee you, you know, I don't have time to go back, but, you know, that night, After Solomon prayed all that prayer, the Lord came back to him and spoke to him. You know, God will speak to you when you have spoken to him his own word. You know, he's bound to respond to you because it's his word. You know, but if it's just our own thinking and so on and so forth, well, maybe he'll respond, maybe he don't. I don't know. But if you use the word of God, he's bound to respond. And every one of these examples, God responded. Later that night, God responded to him and he told him something. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's when God told him, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and do all these things. God, Solomon prayed all that prayer and said, Lord, if your people come here and do all these things and so forth, you know, as you have told them before, that when they sin, you will cast them out. But if they turn around, you know, they will bring them back because you have said these things and so forth. And after he prayed all those things, then the Lord came back to him and told him exactly the same thing. Praise the Lord. Yeah, because it was based on the word of God. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 32 real quick. Jeremiah 32, let me look at verse 17 to 20, and also verse 27. Now, this is using God's attributes in prayer. We're talking about his word, we also talk about his attributes. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth. Doesn't he already know that he made the heavens and the earth? He knew that. I mean, we don't have to tell him, but yes, we do have to tell him. Amen. When you tell him how great he is, when you use that in your prayer, when you approach God and say, Lord God, you have made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and thy outstretched arm, and there is nothing that is too hard for you. When you tell God that, God is bound to repeat the same thing back to you. Hallelujah. Listen to it. Jeremiah told God, there is nothing too hard for you. Thou hast showed loving kindness to thousands, and recompense iniquity to the fathers. Remember, we read this last week, how God introduced himself in Exodus and said, the Lord proclaimed the name of the Lord. So Jeremiah here is claiming, I'm telling God what God already said about himself, that I am the merciful God. Amen. So Jeremiah is saying the same thing here, showing mercy to thousands and recompensing iniquity to the fathers in the bosom and so forth. He said, then the great God, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. Hallelujah. Oh, I love that. He praised the Lord up and down, and then he told God, he said, you are the great God. You are the mighty God. The Lord of hosts is your name. Now, when you tell God those kind of things, God will flex his muscles. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, one man that knows how to do that better than anybody else in that Bible is David. You know, when David prayed the kind of prayers that he prayed, God will stand up and blast with his nostrils. Hallelujah. Listen to the message on the website. I say, power with God. You have that kind of power with God? Can your prayer move God to do the things that God did because of David's prayer? You know, where God will blast and destroy things and so forth, you know, and all that. You know, yeah, because those people knew how to exalt his greatness. Amen. He said, great in counsel is the Lord. Mighty in work. For thy eyes are open on all the ways of the sons of men, to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of their doings. You have set signs in Egypt and you have done all these great things. You even parted the Red Sea and so forth. Look, when you begin to tell God those things, if there is a Red Sea before you, he will part it again. That's right. That's how you get him to do these things. And after Jeremiah told him all those things, listen to what God told him in verse 27. God came back and told Jeremiah exactly what Jeremiah already told the Lord. Verse 27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all the earth. Is there anything too hard for me? This is exactly what Jeremiah just said. Jeremiah said, Lord, you are the God of the earth. Is there anything? You are the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard? And then the Lord responded in kind. He said, I am the Lord. And I am God. Is there any, you know, Lord Jesus said, you call me Lord and Master and you say correctly because so I am. That's right. Amen. Jesus said, I was born for the truth. And if I don't say it, I'll be a liar like you. So the Lord always tells it the way it is. And the Lord said, I am the Lord. And I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything that is too hard for me? And Jeremiah said, no, Lord, there is really nothing that is too hard for you. Amen. And at that point in time, if you engage God in that kind of prayer, and God is speaking that thing for you, ask for the moon. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't stop. If when you are on a roll, if you stop, well, that's your problem. Remember the story of the king, you know, of Israel and so forth, who stopped when the prophet Elisha told him to do certain things. Shoot the arrow, but he stopped. So when you are on a roll, when you are praising the beauty of holiness, when you are praising the greatness and the unsearchability of his greatness, and when you are exalting the name with all these attributes we talked about last week, and then when he comes back to you in the place of thunder, boy, don't stop. Amen. I will answer you in the secret place of thunder. That place is when God is blasting. You know, when God goes for a stroll in the heavens, you hear the thunders roll. Hallelujah. If you're in any time you ever hear the thunders roll, that may be God taking a stroll in the park. Amen. That's how great he is. I'm never afraid when he's thundering. I say, yeah, that's right. That's right, Lord. Yeah, take that stroll. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. Now, listen to this. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 37, there's a story, wonderful story. It's in about two or three different places in the Bible. This story of Sennacherib that came up against, Hezekiah. And, lambasted him, dressed him down, told him all the things that they've done to all the nations and everything. And told the people that, look, don't put your trust in Hezekiah because of this and that. Did any of those nations, did any of their gods, were they able to save them from my hands and so forth? So he lambasted and everything. And Hezekiah, he went to the Lord. Listen to Hezekiah's prayer in Isaiah chapter 37 and verse 15. Now we're talking about to the law and to the testimony. We're talking about using the law, the testimony of God and the word of God in your prayer, wrapping it so that it can be light. Because if you speak not according to this word, it is not light. And God has no, God is light. And anything that has darkness or is not light can't come before him. The prayer is not going anywhere unless it's wrapped up in that light. Now, listen to this. After Sennacherib made all these boasts and everything and so forth, Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord in verse 15 and said, O Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims. Now, when you begin your prayer by saying the Lord God of Israel, that dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art the God, even the very God, thou art alone the God in all the kingdoms of the earth. When you begin to tell him that, when you begin to tell him, thou hast made heaven and earth. You haven't prayed yet, but you are just exalting all the greatness of his attributes. You begin to tell him. And then when you come back and say, Lord, incline. And there's a lesson learned here from Hezekiah. Hezekiah, and there's a message on our website about that too. Hezekiah made it God's fight. Hello, folks. Make it God's fight. There's a way that you can do it by challenging God to defend his name. Amen. By challenging God to be jealous for his glory. If it's about yourself, well, maybe we do it, maybe he won't do it. But if it's about his glory, and if you make it about his name, getting renowned for his name, oh my, the Lord will rise up and he will fight your battles. Amen. Incline thine ear, O Lord. Open your eyes and see. Begin to challenge God. Look at the words of this Sennacherib that he has called to come to reproach the living God. And all these things and so forth. Now, he said, look, of a truth, they destroyed all those other kings and their gods because they were no gods. Amen. That's right. That's how he prayed. He said, but look, you are the Lord. Because those ones were the work of men's hands. Now, therefore, O Lord, our God, verse 20, this is how you pray. Now, therefore, O Lord, our God, save us from his hand. Why? Why should the Lord save him? That all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou alone. Amen. Now, when you make it God's fight, when you make God to be jealous for his name, then you are going to get him to do something. Now, many people in the Bible have learned that technique. Moses, he used that technique when he stood in the gap for the children of Israel. When the Lord says, stand back, let me destroy them. Moses said, come on now, Lord. You've known how the Egyptians and all these people on the other side, of the Red Sea, how they have heard of all the great things that you have done. Are you now going to let them say the Lord their God could not deliver them? He brought them out here to destroy them. He used the word of God and he made it about, look, this is about you. It's about your glory and it's about your name. We don't want people to defame your name, And he challenged God with that. And God said, all right. Praise the Lord. Now, if you understand how to do these kind of things, you're going to win a lot of battles. Amen. Amen. Now, the counsel of the wicked. I'm going to change this a little bit as I begin to wind this down. The counsel. Remember what we read in Lamentations 3:37. I brought it one way about you praying and using God's word. Now, I'm going to bring it another way as we round this up now. The counsel of the enemy against you cannot stand. Amen. Amen? Now, let me repeat that. The counsel of the wicked, peeping and muttering spirits against you cannot stand. Amen. You don't even need to waste your time worrying about that. It cannot stand. Because who is it that saith and it comes to pass when the Lord commands it not? The only thing God has commanded for you is blessing. Hallelujah. So if anybody tries to crush you, it cannot even come to pass. Hallelujah. That's right. You don't even need to waste your time about that. Balaam found that out in the Bible. You can't curse what God has already blessed. Hallelujah. If somebody say they are doing this and so, I don't even worry about it. Why? Because they cannot bring to pass something that the Lord has not commanded. And my thoughts towards you are for peace and for good.
and not for evil, to give you an expected end, saith the Lord. So don't even worry about, you know, what the people are doing and so forth. And listen to this. Let me tell you another thing here. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 44, let's see how God dismisses all the counsel of the wicked. Amen? Isaiah 44 and verse 24. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things. Now, if you read this in the Bible, the next time you want to pray about God doing something that is impossible, out of nothing, use this word to tell him, Lord, you are the Lord that creates all things. You are the Lord that spread the heavens out alone. You are the Lord that does this thing. And then challenge him by his word. Listen to what he said. I am the Lord that frustrated the tokens of the liars. Any lies that the enemy has put out against you, God will frustrate them. Amen. It's already in the scriptures. There's no need for too much prayer about that one. It's already in the scriptures. Hallelujah. I frustrate the tokens of the liars. I make diviners mad. People say they've seen something about you. God will make them mad. God will make them foolish. They cannot see anything. Because as the wind bloweth, and no man can tell, so is everyone that is born by the Spirit of God. You can't tell where it's going or coming. Hallelujah. Now, if you surrender your life to the soothsayer, then they can see your life. But if you are in the Lord, hallelujah, they can't see nothing. Amen. God frustrates them. God makes their devices to not profit against you. He makes sure that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you a scripture for that in Job chapter 5 and verse 11. Let me come to that. Let me finish this. You know, God frustrated the tokens of the liars. He maketh diviners mad. He turneth the wise men backwards. And he maketh their knowledge to be foolish. So that any of the counsels that wicked plan cannot work against you. Because it is not according to this word. And therefore there is no light in it. Amen. Assemble yourselves, O ye nations. All ye people, gather yourselves together. Associate yourselves. But ye shall be broken in pieces. Everyone that shall come up against you shall fall for thy sake, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now listen to this. Isaiah 28. Let me hurry. Isaiah 28 and verse 18. Oh, hallelujah. Isaiah 28 and verse 18. Let me give it to you this way. You know, what does the Lord have to say to us about all this? This is against the enemies of righteousness. This is against people that plot anything. This is what God says to them. Your covenant with death shall be disannulled. And your agreement with hell shall not stand. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let me remind you, you know, let me say this. I've said it before. God showed me something in the spirit a long time ago. And I have referred to it sometimes. I said, void where prohibited by law. You know, I was actually going to title this message like that today. Void where prohibited by law and so forth. You know, sometimes if you sign a contract, you know, they may put those wordings there. If the law of the land prohibits what you are signing, the contract is void. Amen. How many of you know that's true? If you try to sign a contract in the law in the state of Arizona, under the laws of Arizona, if that thing is illegal, no matter the fact that you signed it, that thing is null and void. Void! We are prohibited by law. Hallelujah. And God is saying, you know, and what the Lord showed me in the spirit one time was, the enemy took out a contract against some people, some of God's children. And as he was trying to write on it, I was looking, he was writing, but the thing, nothing was writing. The thing was empty. He would write, but the thing was voided. He would write, but the thing was voided. And I heard, and he said, void. We are prohibited by the law and the testimony. To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, there's no light in them. You don't need to worry about it. Can you say praise the name of the Lord? Now, so anybody that tries anything, well, that's their problem. You know, I don't have time for that. You know, and so on. You know, you just praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, let's see if we can finish this up. Job chapter 5. Turn with me quickly. Job chapter 5 and verse 12. The Lord disappointed the devices of the crafty, so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. How many of you say amen to that? Amen. He taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and he takes the counsel of the froward is carried headlong. Look, God disappoints. I love that language. He disappoints the devices of those who are trying to craft anything against you. Their hands cannot perform their enterprise. Hallelujah! Because God has not spoken it, and they are not speaking according to this word. Therefore, there is no light in it. And it cannot prosper, and it cannot flourish. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, let's crown this up by what God has said concerning you. Amen? Amen. What God has said concerning you will come to pass. Amen. Amen. Now, what other people are saying, you know, sometimes some people say, you know, this is that, but whatever. Just say, your covenant with death shall be disannulled. It cannot come to pass. God is not according to the word of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't care if you go anybody. That's their own business. You know, it doesn't bother me at all. My life is hid with Christ in God. Amen. I don't care what anybody sees. That's their own problem. It's not my problem. Amen. Hallelujah. But this is what I believe. In the book of Ezekiel, turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 12. This is what I believe. And I'm going to read from verse 25. Hallelujah. And I want you to stand to your feet. I'm going to close with this promise right here. Ezekiel chapter 12 and 25. For I am the Lord, and I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. Can somebody say amen? It's not like those other people, because their own is not according to the law and the testimony, so there will be no light in it. But God is the very testimony himself. God is the very light. And God is the word himself. It shall no more be prolonged. Amen. Amen. Oh, I don't think you are excited about that. God said the word that I speak for you, the promise of blessing that I pronounce upon your life, shall no longer be prolonged. It shall no longer be delayed. It is time that it is going to come to pass. Hallelujah. Listen to this. Say unto them in verse 27, that the house of Israel, you know, and so forth, they said, you know, oh Lord, well, the good times, you know, when is the good times going to come? You know, the times are far off and so on. You know, Lord, all your blessing and everything and so forth, you know, is so far away. The Lord said, no. Say unto them, hallelujah, in verse 28, thus saith the Lord God, the Almighty, there shall none of my words be delayed anymore. Amen. Hallelujah. But the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God Almighty. Amen. And say not in your heart, saith the Lord, oh, that it is yet 4 months and this and so forth to the harvest or to the end of the year. The Lord said, look, you know, God can take, you know, God, look, like, you know, some of these babies we dedicated today. Amen. Amen, folks. Amen. Like some of these babies, there was a story in the Bible. I don't have time to go into it, but some of these stories that we dedicated, babies, we dedicated, he said, look, before this baby shall learn to say to my mother and father or this and that, you know, I'll change your story. Amen. Amen. God will change your story, but it will come from your own mouth. Amen. You will use your mouth according to the word of God to change your own story. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now put up your hands and I'm going to pray. I'm out of time and I'm going to pray. Hallelujah. But I am going to declare something here today. You know, well, the Bible says you can only, well, Peter said it. Such as I have, I give unto you. Amen. I cannot give what I don't have. But what I have, I can give unto you. And this thing that I'm going to give unto you now, I have received it of the Lord. This commandment I have received of the Lord, and I can give it to you. Now, so I am going to declare something for somebody. Maybe it's only one person. But if that's you, you come and stand right here in my presence. I'm going to declare it for you. Now, I don't care if you are tormented by the devil. I don't care if the enemy has said this or that against you and so forth. The word of God which we bring, hallelujah, the word which we speak, this word is forever settled in heaven. This word is sharper than any two-edged sword, folks. It can cut asunder, it can slice and dice. The word can even go inside your bones and marrows. Hallelujah. The word can dispel demon spirits. And so forth like that. And you know, the enemy, you know, there's somebody here, the enemy, he put his hands, see, you are like a light that's to be shining. But the enemy, he put his hands, he want to snuff it out. But the Lord said, void. We are prohibited by law. He cannot do it, folks. The enemy cannot do it. Now, if that's you, you come and receive that blessing. I'm going to bless you in the name of the Lord. That the enemy cannot do this against you. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Father, for those who are standing in front of me today, lift up your hands, those of you who are here. Lift up your hands and let's believe God together. I want you to practice what this message said. Think of something in the word of God and say it to God. And now tell God, Lord, now let your word be verified. Now, if the Lord has already said in the word of God that you will be the head and not the tail, has the Lord said that you will be above only and not beneath? Then why are you beneath then? Why are you beneath when the Lord has said you will be above and not beneath? I want you to come to God and say, Lord, you have said it. And you are the powerful God. You are the mighty God. There is none that can withhold your hand. You are the one that ruleth and doeth as you will in the armies of heaven. And no man can say unto you, what doest thou? Neither can any man stay your hand. Now, Lord, let your word be verified. That you have spoken in the word of God today. That your promises will no longer be delayed. Now, I want you to begin to pray. Pray for yourself, folks. Pray for yourself. Begin to use the word of God upon yourself. Then I will declare. I'm going to declare something. Marokendis anobashantori labakandorias. Riendala zobianda bakusi natosharia. I'm going to declare something that's going to change your story in your life. I've already preached it today. All you have to do is latch onto it. But some people, they need prayer. You know, Jesus, he stood at the grave of Lazarus and said, you know, he said something. I said, well, I'm saying it for their sakes. He wasn't saying it for his own sake. For their sake, Lord, I said it. You know, God, I already put the word of God in you through the preaching. But I'm going to use this prayer to help you. In the name of Jesus. Now, if you agree with me, you can say amen. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, you are the greatest. You are higher than the highest. You are even greater than the greatest. By thy own hand and thy right hand, you have made all the heavens. You have spoken things into existence. You have called things that are not as though they already are. You are the great one. Hallelujah. There is none that can say unto you, what doest thou? You are the God of all mercy and the God of all comfort. You have promised that you will guide us with your eye. You have promised to give us the power to get wealth. You have promised to teach us how to make profit. Now, some of you are working very hard. God has given you wonderful blessing, but you are not making profit. You are not turning a profit. In the book of Isaiah 48 and 17, say, the Lord said, and I want you to quote it. The Lord said, I am the Lord that gives you power to make profit. He will turn your situation around. You will make abundance of profit in the name of Jesus. The merchandise of Ethiopia, hidden riches of secret places, treasures of darkness, Randa Sereba Kondori Masalia. Lord Jesus, bless your people in Jesus' mighty name. Now, I want to plug those holes that are in your pocket. And some of you, you work so hard, you stay up late at night. And the Bible says it is vain to do all of that just to eat the bread of affliction. You work 2-3 jobs and so forth. You still can't make ends to meet. You walk all around the clock. You still can't make ends meet. There are holes in your pocket. And let's plug those holes here this morning. Lift up your hands in Jesus' name. Lord, plug those holes. Hallelujah. The Lord said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Now, I want you to begin to say, Lord, you said you will rebuke the devourer. These holes that are in my pocket, they are a devourer. They are devouring every profit that I should be making. I don't know. You are blessing me, but I'm not seeing it. These are holes in your pocket. And these are devourers. And I rebuke the devourer in the name of Jesus. I command spiritual handcuffs to be placed upon those devourers in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Sister Lillian, I know you are traveling this week. Yes. Lift your hands up and let me pray. Jesus, thank you for blessing this woman in the name of Jesus. She's been here in the house of the Lord for many weeks, and you've taken her all over this country to fulfill your will in her life, and it's time for her to go back. Now, Lord, go with her in Jesus' name. Now, sister, I know the Bible already said it. Jesus said this himself. He said, I am not alone. Because my Father who sent me is with me. The Lord who sent you here is already with you. There is no prayer that can change that one. All we have to do is do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Father, Lord, teach us to do the things that are pleasing in your sight. So that we may boldly say the Lord is our helper. The eternal God is your refuge, sister. And underneath are his everlasting hands. And you will go in peace. And the Lord bless your going out and your coming in. And everybody said, amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you have received a blessing here today, I want you to shout the victory.